So last week, Peter, the music director, not Peter the apostle, and I want to be clear because I'm going to be talking about the apostle in just a little bit.
Yeah, I get confused.
All the time. All the time. He's the rock. That's my guy. But Peter and I came into the office early, and there was a man sleeping on the bench right in front of the door of the sanctuary. And he was dressed in like dark clothing, and he was covered up with his dark coat. And so I went in, and Peter and I started discussing, you know, how we were going to help this guy. Should we make him coffee? Should I go, you know, thaw out a bagel that's in the freezer? You know, what are we going to do? Oh, well, you know, maybe we should go get him something that's hot, maybe like a real substantial meal. You know, oh, we've got a bag of biscuits in the freezer. Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should bring him in. You know, or maybe we should bring the food out. Oh, do we have any coats left over in the coat closet that we used to have? And you know, we just began thinking of all these things until we went back to check on him, and he was gone. And I kid you not, the only thing that was left was a white cloth draped on the bench. And I came running back in, and I was like, Peter, the tomb is empty. Little church joke. So tonight we hear a gospel of an empty tomb from the no-nonsense, no-time-to-mess-around, not-so-warm-and-fuzzy gospel of Mark. And this account is different from the other gospels because this resurrection revelation has the best intentions, but it's thwarted by humanity. It's the only resurrection story in which Jesus does not appear. And it ends with the only directive that the women have to tell the others about Jesus' resurrection not being followed out of not knowing what to do. And it sounds like a failure and a missed opportunity, but Mark is really smart, and I really like this gospel and its absence of candy coating. The entire gospel of Mark reiterates over and over a theme that is just begging to be called on in this passage, that the people that are supposed to get it don't, and those that aren't supposed to get it do get it. The women are so freaked out, and understandably, at the door of the tomb. First of all, this freaky guy in white is telling them not to be alarmed. And I don't know about you, but if somebody tells me not to be alarmed, I'm going to get pretty alarmed, right? So they go back, and they, you know, they don't tell anyone because they're a little bit freaked out. But they eventually do. And Mark specifically, mercifully adds Peter by name, that the angel says, go tell the disciples and tell Peter, the apostle. Because I think it's Mark's attempt to kind of rehabilitate the guy that just denied Christ three times. But the Marys, the ones that have been the most faithful of all the disciples to the very end, they don't spring into action and deliver the message. And again, in Mark, the very people that are delivered a slam dunk seem to foul out. So it is with other places in Mark. The disciples don't get who Jesus really is, but the demons do. The demons. And in our story today, if the disciples don't get it, then who does get it? Who are the ones that shouldn't really get the message, but do get the message? Who are the ones that are supposed to get this message? Who are the ones that see the whole story unfolding before them? Surprisingly, and refreshingly, and amazingly, it's you and me, and all of us that read this gospel now and for the past 2,000 years. We get it because this gospel mystery is it's only a mystery to the characters. We, the audience of believers, can see the stage and all the players from our vantage point. And if we are the ones that are supposed to get the message, then what are we supposed to do with it? We, as an audience, have a whole lot more information than the people than the Marys do, or anyone else that's in this scene. We know that the disciples eventually do get the message. We know that they go to the ends of the earth and spread the message of the good news of the resurrection. But what are we to do right now as we hold the answer to this mystery of this gospel? And I think you probably know the answer. I think you know that the resurrection is a story that can't be sealed back up in the tomb. The story is out because Jesus is out. He has come out of the tomb and he has left his death clothes behind. He has walked away with victory. And the story turns to us and looks us in the eye and gestures to us as we say, "Who, me? Yes, you. Take this story and run." And that's resurrection in action. The story from the pages living in our hearts, being told by our mouths and being demonstrated in our lives. Resurrection has happened and death has just straight up lost the fight. We are not just paralyzed by the miracle, but we are empowered by the glory. We have been let in on the story and we know how it goes. We know because we've seen the empty tomb. We've seen the angel, the disciples, and we have seen Christ appear in resurrected glory. There are times when we miss opportunities and times that we don't quite get it. But resurrection is not one of them. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia.